Hey, everybody. It's on the Charlie Kirk Show. We have Speaker Newt Gingrich, Senator Rick Scott, and then we just recap an amazing week. You're going to love this episode. Become a member today, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. So to become a member today, go to members.charliekirk.com, members.charliekirk.com. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. I'm going to read you a text message here of our next guest I sent on Monday. Do you think we are going to win? Newt Gingrich replies, yes. Joining us now is Speaker Gingrich. Mr. Speaker, what a time to be alive. You saw this thing coming. Can you please frame this in historical proportions for our audience?
Sure. I mean, what you saw was an amazing coming together of two different realities. One was that the Democrats, both on performance and on policy and values, had failed, and the country knew it. On the other side, you had a candidate who had spent 9 years, had endured being shot, had endured being assaulted in every way you could by the left, had endured being lied by the media, and was still standing. And so the country said, you know, in a dangerous world, who do I want to have as commander-in-chief? And partly Kamala Harris disadvantaged herself because she was so shallow and so incompetent and so incapable of, you know, explaining anything. On the other hand, I think people gradually came to conclude that Trump had been a pretty darn good president. Things had been a lot better. They could afford more gasoline, more groceries. They didn't have neighborhoods that were dominated by Venezuelan street gangs. And so there was a gradual shift all through October towards Trump, which frankly, a number of us expected. I remember at the convention back in Milwaukee, talking with Chris LaSavita, and we were just comparing notes about campaigns we'd been in, and we both thought, you know, we're going to win this thing because both on performance and on values, the country's going to ultimately repudiate. Now, the big break, which you were a part of, I mean, let's be clear, the work you did, and I remember actually being with you at the convention and being on your program, mm-hmm. The work you did at the grassroots, the people you turned out, the young people you engaged with debates, that was a big piece of this. The really big deal here, not only did Trump win, but he carried a majority of the American people. Yeah. The reason that matters is you get a moral authority. The American people will say, okay, he really is the president of the American people. And if you'll notice, the left has been much less strident since Election Day, much more confused because I think he didn't just win, you know, a plurality of the vote and the Electoral College. He won the whole thing.
Dare I say it was a clean victory. We got it on election night, Mr. Speaker. I mean, on election night, we knew our winner. I mean, not even in 2020. It took us 4 or 5 days. And so let me ask you, Mr. Speaker, as we analyze this phenomenon, the Trump movement, better with Black Americans, Hispanic Americans, young Americans, sweeping the Rust Belt, almost every county going substantially to the right. President Trump defied some entrenched GOP orthodoxy on major issues, specifically immigration and also trade. Can you talk about the realignment that we've occurred? Donald Trump won the most Hispanic county in America, Starr County, 98% Hispanic county.
Well, when you think about all these Harvard and Yale elitists, in a brilliant analysis, Scott Rasmussen called the 1%, the elite 1%, and their vision of the world. What you're seeing, and this is why you get the Never Trumpers, what you're seeing is a profound breakup of the old Republican Party. The people who were really establishment, but also Republican, are totally repudiated by the rise of a genuinely populist, conservative Republican Party. And that's why you see some of the bitter anger, you know, the Liz Cheney types, because their world is going, it's dying. You have, the really hard left in the Democratic Party, and you have a new emerging populist party. Now, this really goes all the way back to Goldwater, goes back to Reagan's amazing speech in 1968, The Time for Choosing, or 64 rather, which you can get on YouTube. If you've never seen it, it's worth it. Then the rise of Reagan, then we came along with the contract, then the Tea Party movement picked it up. And Trump came to personify the one. Again, this is a billionaire. This is not some, local guy in a blue collar outfit. This is a genuine billionaire, but whose instinct is to take on the establishment. And as a result, everyday working Americans rallied to him because, candidly, they'd all been ripped off by the establishment. The establishment sold them out to build factories in China and Mexico. The establishment sold them out with radical values. The establishment sold them out by allowing the border to be open and Venezuelan and El Salvador gangs to be committing crimes, some of which are horrible. A five-year-old raped in Long Island, for example. I mean, these things aren't made up. These aren't scare stories. These are news.
That's right.
These are real things. So what happened is people have common sense looked around and said, that ain't working. That's not a future I want for my family. And Donald Trump was there. And then I think in a way that nobody on the left could understand. I kept saying this for 3 years. When you have the champion of a movement, they're not a candidate. Candidates are different animals. Kamala was a candidate. She had no movement. Donald Trump, when your champion is attacked, you move towards them. You want to protect them. You want to prop them up. So where if it's a candidate, you might go, gee, I'm not sure. But if it's your champion, you are sure. And that's why every time the left cheated, every time from Russia to the FBI, to the investigations, to the two phony impeachments, to the phony lawfare, to being shot. I mean, every time his support grew as people said, wait a second, if they fear him that much, maybe he's my guy.
Mr. Speaker, can you talk about how Donald Trump gave people something to vote for? It wasn't just that he was running against, but it was something to vote for.
Well, first of all, he did 47 videos outlining a series of specific policies. Second, he put together a very clean, almost like Contract with America, a platform of 20 big ideas. Third, in every rally, he talked about principled ideas, stopping inflation, creating economic growth, controlling the border, et cetera. I mean, so if you look at who talked policy, it was Donald J. Trump. And the result was people said, and you got this all over and over again from focus groups, people who'd say, she's just babbling. She won't tell you what she really believes. You can't trust her. And then they would say about Trump, I don't always like what he does, but I love what he stands for. I love his policies, and I'm with him. And that got bigger and bigger in October. And you could really feel the momentum as people thought about it, and they moved to him.
It's just the historic proportion here is just remarkable. Blacks, Hispanics, young voters across the board. And Mr. Speaker, at the RNC convention, I remember we turned to each other and we almost got teary-eyed because that was 3 days after President Trump got shot. And I can't help but say that it was the hand of God on this movement. Can you comment on that very quickly in 1 minute, Mr. Speaker?
Yeah, look, I felt very strongly. I was there that Saturday and went over and did Fox and I was on with Sean. And I said, I think this is providential. I mean, if he had not moved his head, turning, away from looking at that board back, if he had not moved his head at exactly that second, the bullet would have entered his brain and killed him. Now, that's providential. And I think he feels that way, much like Reagan. Remember, both Reagan and Pope John Paul II had been shot. And when they got together for the first time, they compared their thoughts about being shot and God sparing them. And they decided that God had spared them to defeat the Soviet Empire. I think that Trump was deeply affected by being shot. I think he believes that God gave him a purpose, which was to save America. And I think he's a better man for how he has responded to that experience.
If your approach to everyday aches and pains is to mask them, you know, feel better for a few hours only to have the pain return and then repeat the cycle all over again. It's time to try Relief Factor. And the good news is Relief Factor makes it quite easy. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95, less than a dollar a day. Instead of masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it. How? Well, its unique formula of natural ingredients helps support your body's response to inflammation. Relief Factor was developed by doctors. It's 100% drug-free. And for so many people, the results are game-changing, even life-changing. So give it a try right now. Their three-week quick start is just $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That is 1-800-4-RELIEF. See how in a few weeks or even a few days, Relief Factor can reduce your pain. So don't mask your pain. Fight naturally with Relief Factor, ReliefFactor.com. So, Mr. Speaker, if you were to estimate, what is the path forward for the Democrat Party? I want not what they should do, but what do you think they will do? Will they really exorcise the demons of their woke past? Or are they married to these radical elements permanently?
Well, permanently is a long time, but they're certainly going to be wedded to them for the next 10 or 15 years. And they're going to focus on the idea that it was all Biden's fault and Kamala's fault, but that the basic ideas are right. I mean, you already have people the leading socialist in the Senate, Bernie Sanders, saying, you know, the Democrats abandoned the working class and therefore the working class abandoned them. So he would argue socialism now would be the right battle cry. I'm sure AOC feels the same way. And I think that there's no, because Kamala was such a total vacuum of ideas and was so clearly incompetent, and because Biden had become cognitively impossible to defend, they can keep it all up at a personality level. What they'll say is, oh, our ideas weren't defeated. We just had really bad candidates, which, frankly, from our standpoint as conservatives is good because it means that the vacuum will grow and that people will increasingly leave the Democratic Party.
Yeah, and it's just, so if you were to say, how do we expand and build on this for the 3.0 contract with America legislatively? If you were to give advice to Speaker Johnson, if I may, I'm actually going to tell you what I told Speaker Johnson this morning, and I'd love your comments, Mr. Speaker. Again, who am I to give advice? I'm talking to, you know, the greatest speaker of a generation here. I said, start with a very clean and simple border bill, H.R. 1, something that can get everyone to agree on it and get it signed in the first 30 days, nothing too big. Do you agree with that, Mr. Speaker? Getting a win, getting a victory on the low-hanging fruit, especially with a slim majority?
Well, no, I think that's exactly right. And I would say you want to build a very strong communications component because what we found, we run a project called the America's New Majority Project, which people can see at americasnewmajorityproject.com. And starting in 2018, we have been doing polls and focus groups looking for 60 and 70 and 80% issues. I knew 2 years ago that we had an opening with the Latino community that none of the traditional Republican professionals understood. I knew that those had a big opportunity with Asian Americans, which began to pay off in this election. And we were constantly looking for issues where we thought that people would simply be repulsed by the Democrats. For example, over 80% of the country believes that parents have the right to know what's happening to their children in school. Well, of course, the teachers union hates that. The hard left hates that. When you get into that kind of a fight, lots of young people actually agree that parents ought to know what's going on in the classroom. So it didn't shock me that Trump began to really build momentum with Latinos, with African-American males, with Asian-Americans, and with people under 25. Remember, they're the folks who are faced with the reality They can't afford to buy a house right now because of Joe Biden. They can't afford to fill up their tank with gasoline because of Joe Biden. They're worried about their neighborhood having a Venezuelan gang because of Joe Biden. So they're looking around thinking, in the real world, I don't think I can afford to be a Democrat.
Mr. Speaker, very quickly, what lessons can we learn from unified government in 2017 when we had Paul Ryan, McConnell, Trump, and it didn't necessarily go great those first 6 months? What lessons can we learn from that?
I will tell you some of that, but please. I'm going to tell you bluntly because I was there. I went to see Trump early and I said, having been Speaker of the House and having balanced the budget for four straight years and having gotten reelected for the first time since 1928, I said, open with an infrastructure bill because you will have half the Democrats support you.
I totally agree.
It's very bipartisan.
Yep.
And McConnell and Ryan, who did not have a clue, went in and said, oh, no, let's open by repealing Obamacare. Well, first of all, in the end, they didn't have the votes. And second, it guaranteed total partisanship. And I don't blame Trump. I mean, Trump was a brand new president. He'd never been in charge before. You have the majority leader in the Senate. You have the Speaker of the House. What are you going to do? But it was totally wrong. And I blame McConnell and Ryan for it. And I think it was a huge mistake.
Great analysis, Mr. Speaker. I completely agree. And let's not repeat those mistakes. And I think God gave us a four-year intermission to be able to reload, reconsider, and fix and save the country. Mr. Speaker, thank you so much.
Great talking to you.
For over 23 years, Selective Search has been America's leading matchmaking authority, especially for conservatives and people of faith. They know the challenges you face trying to find someone who respects your traditional family values and is on the same page politically. So if you are a 35 to 45-year-old man who loves God, loves his country, and wants a family, Selective Search has female clients looking to meet you. And the best part, Selective Search offers 100% complimentary and confidential candidate program for you as they search to match their clients. Some of my dear friends are using the service and speak very highly of it. Men, this is what you've been looking for. Visit SelectiveSearch.com today. This perfect conservative woman is waiting for you. Let the professionals at SelectiveSearch.com surprise you with women already looking for you in Southern California. If you're in Southern California, listen carefully. There's amazing women waiting for you. Go to SelectiveSearch.com today. That's SelectiveSearch.com today. If you're in Southern California, sign up right now and maybe you'll find your partner for the rest of your life. Check it out right now.
Okay, joining us now is who I am pushing very hard to become leader, Senate Majority Leader, and is the great senator from Florida. First of all, Senator, congratulations on your triumphant victory, despite them spending a lot of money against you, and congratulations to America. Senator Rick Scott welcomes the program.
Well, first, Charlie, thank you for all your help in the race. I mean, you're a wonderful individual down here doing voter registration and voter turnout, and we had a massive win, almost 6 million votes. We got the vote out, and you guys are a big part of it. We beat our opponent by 1.4 million votes. We won Miami-Dade, which no one ever thought Republicans could do. We won Osceola County, which is primarily Puerto Rican. We won the county with Tampa's in, the county that St. Petersburg's in, the county that Jacksonville's in. I mean, this was a massive win because it was a complete rejection of all the things the Democrats have been pushing. So. But thank you for your team down here that did a great job.
Well, absolutely. And my goal, Senator, is to get you Kerry Lake there. So we're working on that right now. In fact, our team is curing ballots right now for Kerry Lake. We are curing hundreds of ballots right now. This thing's going to be a knife fight. It is not over yet. She just won 58% of the latest drop. So, Senator, my goal is to get you a reinforcement there from Arizona.
Oh, gosh.
But no guarantees.
And
I do want to ask you about that. I do have to ask, and this is just me kind of being candid. Senator, if you were in charge, I imagine you would have spent some money here in Arizona. And instead, the current Senate leadership apparatus, of which you are challenging, did not spend a cent or a dime to help Kerry Lake. Can you add context to that? And is that one of the reasons why you're running for leader to prioritize races that can win, even if they aren't necessarily in McConnell's back pocket?
Well, first off, think about it. Let's make it real simple. There were only two senators that had competitive races, Ted Cruz and me, that were incumbents. McConnell didn't help either one of us. Then let's look at Kerry Lake. Now, what's the common ingredient? Oh, we're conservatives. We actually believe in follow the Constitution. We don't want to have massive spending bills, right? We want to actually help President Trump implement his agenda. And so, and then, so McConnell attacked me. He attacked Trump during the campaign. We're campaigning to win our elections, and he's out attacking us. So, yeah, I don't get it. McConnell wouldn't spend money out last cycle either, out in Arizona. But, you know, he spends money where we had way less of a shot. I mean, look, Larry Hogan's great. I love Larry Hogan to be in the Senate. I mean, I don't agree with everything he does, but it would be good to have another Republican. But you're going to spend money, and McConnell spent money there, a lot of money there, and not in a
How
place.
Much money did he spend there, Senator? Sorry to interrupt. I haven't been able to find a number. Can you give an estimate, please? I am curious.
I haven't seen the final number, but somebody said it was like $17 million. I don't know if that's
accurate.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know if that's the right number, but think about it. If Kerry had that money,
she'd be up by 3 points.
And on top of it, go support. Even if McConnell, whoever the leader is, spends $500,000, then it says, we care. Kerry can do it. But when they say, we're not going to spend a dime, or what they did the last cycle, we don't have very good candidates. That's what McConnell said last cycle. How is that going to help us get a majority? What's the most important thing? Get a majority so we can govern, right? You don't get a majority to say, I only want a majority if they agree with everything I do and let me run everything by myself.
That was terrible.
McConnell's approach. McConnell's approach is it's a dictatorship. So
he wanted a Republican majority. Can you add that distinction?
Yeah.
A McConnell majority versus a Republican one?
Yeah, he wanted was people that agreed with him. So if you agree with him, that's what he does. That's what he does. He lords over donor money. It is not his money. He didn't go make this money by building a company and says, now I get to spend my money. No, he's raising donor money that's supposed to elect Republicans and say, oh, I'm only going to elect Republicans that are going to vote for me or my handpicked candidate to be the majority leader. That's it. Nobody else. Everybody else, if you can lose, I don't really care because I'd rather be in a minority. So, I mean, this is crazy. I'm running because guess what? I want a majority. I want to implement Republican ideas. I want to implement Donald Trump's ideas. I want to make sure everybody feels like, hey, you're a part of it. You won your Senate race. You get a vote up here. Not under McConnell. McConnell comes in. He says, this is what we're doing. And if you disagree with me, guess what? You probably won't get any campaign money next time. It's not good for us. It's not good for the country. Let's get somebody that actually knows say, I want a majority. I want to be able to govern. You don't get to govern if you're not a majority. All you do is get to stop things, unless you vote with the Democrats, which is what he's done a lot too. You look at the omnibus bills he passed under Biden. You look at the CHIPS Act, which he passed under Biden. You look at all these bills he passed under Biden. It was all the Democrats in the Senate and 11 to 17 Republicans. So we will hit $36 trillion of the debt, I think, this month. I think when McConnell got up here, it was five. So you think inflation is going away when we keep spending 40% more than we take in? Unlikely.
So Senator, let's continue. What is necessary for you to become leader? When is the vote? What does it take to get it done? Give us a little inside baseball. Is it anonymous vote? So, are you guys all meeting in a room? Bring us into the room.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Under our bylaws, the election is supposed to be in January. But since the McConnell came into power, he rushes the vote, okay, to right after the election. So the vote's going to be next Wednesday. So why does he do that? Well, so the new guys don't really know much. And they, he can go to them and say, you know what? I put a lot of money in your state and you're going to vote against what I believe. Just think next time you run, buddy, what's going to happen to you? So that's what he does. So the election is going to be next Wednesday. All right. So I'm running. John Thune's running. John Cornyn's running. I believe I'm going to win because when I talk to my colleagues, they want change. They want to be treated as equals. They want a majority of them not all of them, a majority of them support the Trump agenda. They want to help him. They know I've got a great working relationship with him. I've got a working relationship with the Freedom Caucus in the House and with Speaker Johnson. Right? They know as a business guy, I can get things done. What do business guys do? Well, we say, this is what we're going to do. This is our vision. Let's build a team. Let's have a plan to execute it. And let's measure the living daylights out of things. That's successful people do that. That's what business guys do. So what they know is that's what I'm going to do. That's what Trump's going to do. If Trump doesn't get a majority leader in the Senate that is supportive of his agenda, then this, some of the things that he's proposed, believe it or not, they're not going to happen. I mean, there's nominees that Trump will want because it happened when McConnell was the president, or a majority leader of the Senate, his first 2 years of Trump. It never got through because, you know, he didn't like them. Judy Shilton, who would have held the Federal Reserve accountable. I mean, he made sure that there were two people out. Chuck Grassley and I were out because of COVID. We had COVID. So he organizes the vote that week. So she lost by one. Right? He could have brought the vote up again. Did he know? So what Trump needs is somebody that's going to help him get his agenda done. Why tell everybody this is, if you like the Trump agenda and you want it to get accomplished, you need to call, you know, if you have a Republican senator in your state, you need to call every Republican senator that you know and say, look, Rick Scott's got to be the majority leader or somebody. I mean, there's nobody else. I'm the only one running that has this relationship with Trump, but somebody is going to get Trump's agenda done. Otherwise, what do we just, we went out and busted our butt, one, to elect Trump and get a majority in the Senate and a majority in the House. And what are we going to do with it? We're going to squander it like what happened under Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, Trump's first 2 years. I mean, he didn't get his nominees done. He didn't get the legislation. So they wouldn't, when McConnell was the head, when Trump was president and Ryan was the Speaker of the House, he wanted to do an infrastructure bill. Did they get it done? No. But did they do it? Did they help Biden get it done? Yeah, absolutely. They helped Biden get it done. It, you know, they got the 11 or so Republicans to help Biden so he could go brag that he got some infrastructure deal done. Now, was it a good deal? No, it was a horrible deal. It was a Green New Deal stuff. They're paying for charging stations all over the country. I mean, is somebody paying for your gas? No, they're not. But you're paying for their charging station.
Senator, the vote is coming up next week. Can you just remind the audience who is your opposition? And the grassroots are behind you 100%.
Well, my opposition, here's what my opposition is. John Thune, he's a senator from South Dakota. He's been there, I think, since the late 90s. And then John Cornyn from Texas. He's been there since 2002. You'd love to have dinner with him. But what you've got, I think what you have to have is you've got to have somebody that has a relationship with Trump, has been supportive of his agenda, is a business guy to get something done. And that's, if we want the Trump agenda done, that's what's got to happen. And the other thing that we've got to make sure this stuff gets out of the House. The Freedom Caucus is an important part of the House. We're going to need their votes to get it done. The way you do that is you talk to them. I meet with the Freedom Caucus from the House every Wednesday night. We're up in D.C. to say, guys, we have got to be for something. Now, we've got to stop the bad stuff. We got to be for something that moves the ball. Yep. And then we got to fight like hell if they have bad stuff.
My advice to Speaker Johnson is we went in the wrong direction back in 2017. And I wanted the repeal of Obamacare, but it wasn't done right. We need a crisp, short, precise border bill that gives more funding to Border Patrol, that gives us the ability to secure our border, including wall funding. Get it to the House, Senate. You do not need a filibuster on that, right? It should pass the threshold because it should be just its own supplemental. You could say, am I correct on that, Senator? Yep. Does it pass the filibuster threshold?
That's my understanding.
Right?
I agree with you.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a budget bill.
Straight to the president's desk,
bill,
sign it in the first month.
It doesn't need, yeah.
Yep.
Right.
Done.
Let's do something.
You do it in the first 30 days. Yes. Yes. Get it done. Get it right out of the gate. Show the American people you're fulfilling the mandate on the border. First 30 days. Senator, we're behind you 100%. Let us know how we can help. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Charlie. Thanks for your support. And thanks for your help win the election.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. What an unbelievable start to 2024. We had last month saving babies with preborn by providing ultrasounds. And we're doing again this year what we did last year. We're going to stand for life because remaining silent in the face of the most radically pro-death administration is not an option. As Sir Edmund Burke said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing, and we're not going to do nothing. Your gift to preborn will give a girl the truth about what's happening in her body so that she can make the right choice. $280 can save 10 babies. $28 a month can save a baby a month all year long. And a $15,000 gift will provide a complete ultrasound machine that will save thousands of babies for years and years to come. And will also save moms from a lifetime of pain and regret. Call 833-850-2229. That's 833-850-2229, or click on the preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com, and click on the preborn banner. Also, save moms from a lifetime of pain and regret. I'm a donor to this organization. They're terrific. Go to charliekirk.com, click on the preborn banner.
Blake, there's so much going on right now, and you must be having fun. I'm soliciting ideas for Blake on things that this new government can do.
I am soliciting. Do you want to
share some of them?
Big intake.
Yeah. So can you share one or two? Not the spicier ones, but some of the more interesting ones of just general ideas of what you think President Trump should do as soon as he becomes president.
Yeah, one of the interesting ones I heard that I hadn't considered myself, you know, we've talked about make America healthy again as an idea, but what would that manifestly mean? And one of the cool ideas I heard was they talked about making federal science great again. So we have evidence, for example, that government-funded research on some of like the trans stuff, for example, that they did research in puberty blockers, and it sounds like that research hasn't been published because, like, oh, they were saying it could be misinterpreted or exploited. Basically, that it was not good outcomes, and we haven't seen that research. So you could easily say, if you're getting federal money for research, your results have to be published. Another thing I'd never heard about, but is very interesting, is someone told me that we have existing laws regarding pharmaceutical research that have just gotten ignored, that the FDA is owed billions, actually tens of billions of dollars in late fees for drug trials where companies just didn't report them. And we should be collecting those. And that's a very interesting thing I hadn't considered and could be a very good step towards what we've talked about, which is a kind of government transparency project. You have transparency of research, transparency of funding. You have transparency of government communications with companies. So you do a Twitter files for everything. Any of their communications with tech companies, not just Twitter, but Facebook. Really show everything that they did in 2020 in terms of fighting disinformation for COVID or for, you know, the Hunter Biden stuff. There's so many things that we could do on that front. And what's great about all of those can just be done by the executive branch. You don't need a single act of Congress to do it.
I love all those ideas. And I mean, the amount of power that President Trump has to be able to shape the federal bureaucracy in our direction is amazing. And we must, again, fulfill the mandate. Just some of these right here, by the way, this is Ben Berquam, who I love on Real America's Voice. Seven steps to securing the border. NCPB1 and begin deportations on anyone that was given paroled release. Reimplement Remain in Mexico. Exit the Global Compact on Migration. Defund NGOs in all sanctuary cities. Classify cartels as terrorist organizations. Criminally investigate every politician that has supported open borders or signed off on NGO for connections to cartels or foreign influence. Implement E-Verify. Severely tax remittances and use tariffs and foreign governments that don't comply with repatriation. All of that can be done on the first day. And my advice to the transition thing is going to be President Trump, like Joe Biden, should say, so help me God, on the King James Bible at high noon on January the 20th, walk into the outer room of the U.S. Capitol, right there in the Capitol, sign the nonviolent pardons for January 6th, sign these, you know, 8 or 9 executive orders on the border, get it done. Do not even wait 10 seconds on it. Get it done. And, you know, fulfill the mandate. In addition, we got to get this Russian war fixed. We got to get it over with. Breaking news, Trump and Zelensky had a phone call on Wednesday. Elon Musk was a special guest, which is good. Elon Musk is a man of peace. He wants an end to this. I believe President Trump will have this war settled. Qatar has just announced that Hamas is no longer welcome in Qatar. They said, get out. You are no longer allowed to have safe harbor. The European Union has just announced that they will buy liquefied natural gas from America. They will no longer buy it from Russia. Everybody, it is 3 days since President Trump has won the election. And we have peace deals in the making. We have the energy boom being created. Oh, by the way, one other. A migrant caravan has been broken up and has turned back to their country of origin. I'm not kidding. That has all happened in the last 24 hours. Peace, energy, and people are already starting to self-deport. Are you ready to make America great again? Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.